I think if we want to understand the rise of power of Saladin, then we have to chart his career from a starting point around 1169 and trace it really to the years of 1187, when he achieves a series of victories against the group we might call the Latins, the Western Christians in the Holy Land, and then perhaps beyond 1187 and into the Third Crusade. But if we go back to 1169, this is the moment when, if not Saladin's first appearance on the stage occurs, but at least the moment when he becomes prominent in Islamic history. And it's in this year that he's embroiled in the events in Egypt, as members of his family, including his uncle, Shirku, have led an expedition into Egypt, nominally on the behalf of their ruler, Nur al-Din, who's based in Damascus. And when Shirku dies, there's something of a power vacuum in Egypt in terms of who is going to take over the reins of power. And the person who's able to fulfill that gap turns out to be Saladin. Now, one of the things I think it's important to recognize early on is that Saladin wasn't the natural or even the obvious first choice. Even chronicles that are relatively favorable to Saladin, written by Muslim contemporaries, make it clear that he had to work relatively hard to promote his own position. And he proved himself, I think, at that moment in 1169 to be adept at talking to members of different camps within the expeditionary Muslim force. So in 1169, he becomes the new de facto leader of what we might call the Zengid expeditionary force that's come from Damascus. But it's also important to recognize that Saladin and his family are actually members of a different dynasty. They will come to be known as the Ayyubids, and named after Saladin's father, Ayyub. And in many ways, that dynasty is a rival dynasty to that of the Zengids, the group that Saladin in 1169 is supposed to be subordinate to. And this is another factor in his rise to power, the fact that he wants, I think in his own lifetime, and certainly the chroniclers who write about him, want their audiences to believe that he is in many ways the legitimate successor to a figure like Nur al-Din, who in the mid part of the 12th century is at the vanguard of what we might call the jihad, the Islamic holy war for repossession of the Holy Land. I think the reality is very different. I think in actual fact, in many ways, we should recognize that Saladin, even from 1169, and certainly once we get into the 1170s, is a usurper. He has his eye on achieving, I think, personal and familial power, and he carves out a center of authority for himself in Egypt in the years that follow 1169. I think in this period, we also learn some interesting things about Saladin's personality and his approach to power. One of the things that if we observe Egyptian history in the 12th century, we recognize very quickly is that it's a real era of the bloodbath. When people come to power in Egypt, the traditional thing to do is to massacre and slaughter every possible political opponent very rapidly. And this has happened time after time in the preceding decades before 1169 and Saladin's rise to authority. But he is not so swift and distinctly really quite cautious in his approach to seizing power in Egypt in comparison to what's come before. He's often lauded in Islamic texts and Islamic history as the man, because he's coming from a Sunni Islamic background, he's lauded as the man who abolished the Shiite caliphate in Egypt. But it's worth recognizing that although he comes to a position of authority in 1169, it's not till 1171 that abolition actually takes place. And he's much more cautious in his approach to dealing with the Shiite caliph, a man called Al-Adid, than many previous claimants to power in Egypt had been. And what he actually does is keep his eyes very firmly on establishing his own position of authority, ceding members of his family and trusted retainers in positions of power to ensure that he's going to have a longer stay in power in Cairo than those that have come before.